I'm old enough to see a true degradation of principles of
morals.
Yeah. Everything's collapsing.
Yes.
Everything's a mess. People are disturbed. People are not mentally sane for the most part. And I don't think people realize that. People are living in the moment and watching the news and reacting, but not thinking in a low time frame about the future, about their kids, about how they want society to be. Yeah. Democracy is going really bad. It has to collapse somehow. And the more people we can take into this bright orange future, this other reality, a more sane reality, back to first principles, back to family life. I'm just worried about my family. Let's take it back to reality.
Yeah.
Less TikTok, more family life. Take all that noise out of people's brains. And let's try and communicate better. And what better tool to communicate than an information technology like Bitcoin? That's all. Well, that's the only thing we need. A fair equalizer for the world that doesn't extract value from people's lives and let them lead their families and community lives, in a more proper way.
Hello, Andre. Thanks for joining me on an episode of You're the Voice.
Hello, Efrat.
How are you?
Good to be here. I'm good. I'm very good.
Good to have you.
In Madeira, weather. Oh, it's getting crazy by the day. It's 2 weeks to go, but everything's set up. But this is it's actually where everything starts to happen. All the months of preparation led to this 2 weeks now of full craziness, putting everything up. But yeah, it's looking really good.
You're in crunch time. You're definitely in crunch time now.
Yes.
So yeah, it's hard, and I wish you good luck in the next 2 weeks because it's going to be even more difficult as you go.
I need it a little bit, yes.
Let's start with a quick intro. So, Andre Loja, a serial entrepreneur, father of four, and the visionary behind the upcoming Bitcoin Atlantis conference just around the corner, where I have the pleasure of participating as a speaker. So thanks for having me. Me and another 160 people?
What? How many more speakers? Now.
More.
I don't know the last count, honestly, but I think it's over 180 now,
more or less.
Plus the other people that are helping in the workshop areas, Ellen Bits, Maker Bits. We'll discuss all of that, I guess.
We'll discuss all of them. So wait with that. So not only that Andre is the force behind this groundbreaking event, but Andre is also the driving force behind the Free Madeira initiative. As a dedicated Bitcoiner and publisher translator of Bitcoin literature, he took on the extraordinary mission of orange pilling the president of the beautiful Portuguese island of Madeira about a year and a half ago, which is where Andre lives, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there anything that I've missed about your background? Can you share more?
No. Well, I'm at least from my after orange pilling, I guess. But we are very fortunate right now to have all of this happening here. It wasn't only me, of course. There was a lot of, a series of little things that happened in the last few years that made this happen. And I was very fortunate that little series of small things led to this huge conference that is taking place now in 2 weeks. That I think it's the epitome of everything that we're working for here at Free Madeira. And let distinction on both entities. So Bitcoin Atlantis is organized by Free Madeira, which is a non-profit in the base of this all, right? That with the big aim of adoption and education of Bitcoin here in our archipelago. Madeira is comprised of two islands. Free Madeira is a long-term project. We aim to help with the education of everyone around us, from business to individuals to, you know, public entities, lobbying the government, you know, influencing as much as we can on this new, amazing open source technology that we truly believe in.
So when let me stop you here for a second. When did you get into Bitcoin and why?
Well, I did the usual path. You know, I started getting interested in crypto at the time, and you know, I was badly influenced by the narratives of those who know less as anyone else at the time. You know, I remember, I don't know exactly, but 2016, 2017, and you know, I started getting into all those narratives about smart computers and, you know, ICOs and all that stupid stuff. So I paid my tuition, as we usually say, to come out on the other end, a complete Bitcoin maxi, and you know, getting rid of all the nonsense. And
you when know, you say nonsense, you're talking about other crypto coins, just so people understand.
Yes. Yes, because in the end, when you truly understand it, then you dig deep, you understand that it's all noise. There's no value at all on, you know, 99.9% of those crypto projects. And you know, people say that you get into Bitcoin because number go up technology, you know, because it's getting up in value and you want to make some money and whatever. But when you truly understand it, actually that mindset goes away and you understand that it's this amazing open source technology that was discovered for the good of humanity, and your mindset changes completely. I'm not the same person I was a few years ago at all.
Yep.
And nowadays, I don't even care about the price of Bitcoin usually.
Yes.
Of course, you follow it, you know, you're interested. It's part of the success of the network, of the technology and so on. It's almost like a measuring stick, I guess, for what's happening in the network.
Yes.
That's not the most important at all. And actually, I'm a better person now, or I truly believe I'm a better person now, because now I'm truly focused on trying to be better for my family, for my community, for my island especially. That's why we did Frimadar in the end. I have four kids, as you mentioned, and as Greg Foss put it, it's, you know, it's for the kids. And it is, in fact, it is, because it when is. You truly understand what's happening here, you start fighting for them and for a better world, for a better future for everyone.
Yeah. And in the age where they get it, you also explain it to them. I explained it to my son. He got it. And now he's got a Trezor wallet. And now he's asking me to send him money all the time. So I'm not sure I've done the right thing, but I want to see my money grow. That's what he cares about now. But
that's good, you know. Like the savings... How shall I put it? Even my little kids, you know, my oldest one is 9, my youngest is 4. They are all in a row.
Yeah.
Now, of course, because you know, I'm addicted, right? Bitcoin infects your mind, so it's all over me and my family and everything that surrounds me. So they know, and they're always, you know, making fun. I go in the car listening to podcasts, right?
Yeah.
And they are like, oh, they all hear the English words and Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin. And yes. They go over the school saying, you know, they have a wallet and they're saving for their future. So it's a very nice mindset for themselves as well, and the good positioning for them instead
Absolutely.
Of just, you know, spending money on the sweets, you know.
Exactly. And it's unusual for kids to talk like that or think like that, which is very cool. I think in the conference you're going to have something for families and kids as well, right?
Absolutely. You know, being a father of four and traveling to other conferences as I did in the past, you know, we immediately wanted, when we were designing what we wanted to do and make of this conference, we decided from the start to make it almost like a vacation to Madeira. It's already a very good destination. Already a great place to visit anyway.
Yep.
So we decided, you know, we are in the middle of the Atlantic. It's not the easiest place to get to, although we have a lot of connections to all over Europe and even the United States and so on. But It's not like a, you know, a major city in the middle of Europe, for example. Yeah. So we decided, well, let's make it not only very, very interesting, of course, on the technical part and the conversations and everything, but let's try to make it a bigger bouquet and offer a lot of satellite events, you know, interesting stuff for the families, bring the wives, bring the kids, make it family friendly. And I think we did it. I think a lot of, it's so good to see a lot of people are saying they're going to bring the wives for the first time, the kids. You know, we created a kids block, as we call it, so an area inside the venue just for kids.
What are they going to do there?
Oh, many, many things. And we had the help of great people. Like, it's separated in two areas, one for 1 to 6 years old and from 6 to 16. One from six, of course, it's more, you know, toddler activities. They're going to have face paintings, games, stories, you know, the sorts.
Yeah.
Fathers, you know, and mothers can leave the kid for a bit to watch a conversation. There will be nannies there. They can come in, of course, and play with them. And, you know, of course, Bitcoin-related paintings and all the sorts. And on the more older area, you know, it's a full schedule. They have
really?
A stage.
Of
they have a stage
for...
of its own. Yeah, they have a stage of its own. We had great help from a lot of people, Frankie, Scott and Mallory from Shamory, Bitcoin, his wife, Nathan Day, Daniel Prince and the kids, so Coach Carbon, and they're going to have the stage, they're going to have workshops, chocolate workshops, Lightning Piggies, guys are going to be here. They kind of have a lot of physical activities and games, and there's tennis. Table tennis, football, a lot of games with balls, and they have a lot of activities there for the kids, which is going to be amazing.
Super. Okay, so I'm taking you back before we touch more on the conference. We'll come back to it. Take me to Madeira in general. What does it mean that Madeira today is supporting Bitcoin? I know you started this process with the president about a year and a half ago, and I know it's quite different from El Salvador, for example.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about what it means and what does it look like in the day-to-day in Madeira when, you know, merchants or businesses are accepting Bitcoin.
This is very interesting to clear because there was a lot of confusion. Since the moment the president went to Miami, in 22, and he made the announcement that Madeira was adopting Bitcoin, which is actually the wrong wording. A lot of people thought we were adopting as a legal tender,
which is just not
possible at all.
Right.
What he meant was adopting in the embracing kind of way, like I support the initiative.
Yes.
But let's make it clear. I think the president understands, and it's part of a overall strategy for Madeira itself that I'll explain. But Free Madeira is an independent organization. We are a non-profit, apolitical. We are not connected to the government. We don't have government funding, not at all. We are supported by the sponsors, by the donations, by the community, and we are a bottoms-up initiative for the education of Bitcoin overall. Of course, Bitcoin touches a lot of stuff, and from energy to education to remittances to businesses. So we are working on a lot of different things in that area. But in the end, we are an independent organization. But we appreciate the support, of course. It's better to have the support
of course.
And people in the positions of power that understand that this is an important technology to support than not. You know, it would be another fight. And, you know, every jurisdiction has its own trade-offs as well. We are in Europe. We are a community entity in Europe.
Yes.
So we are a semi-autonomous region of Portugal. What this means is, we have our own president and our own government, but we are not fully independent. We have a connection to the Portuguese government and a lot of strict rules on what we can do and what we cannot do. And of course, the big, big matters, we don't have a lot of power, like taxes, and definitely legal tender, you know, defense, stuff like that, like the major nationality. So we decide on, we have a lot of leeway to create our own regulations in a lot of education, all the other areas. But there's a very strict rules on what we can and cannot do. So it was never really on the equation that Bitcoin was going to be legal tender here in Madeira, not at all. And the president sees it more, so Madeira was very, it is very touristic still. A big part of the economy is supported on the tourism sector. And especially after COVID, I think the president and the government overall understood that it would be, you know, smart not to diversify a little bit of the economy of Madeira, not be so dependent on tourism.
Yep.
So they started betting big on supporting startups, you know, new technologies, you know, from every part of the economy, not only cryptocurrencies.
Yes.
I always give the same examples. They have they created a cluster for sea-related startups, for example. We are surrounded by sea. It made sense. So they created a cluster. They're inviting startups to do their work here. So they're supporting it. We have the International Business Center that also serves as support because there are some tax advantages and so on to incorporate the businesses here.
Mm-hmm.
They are creating the new hospital, and there will be a whole section for science-related startups as well on health-related technologies. And the president sees that as another arm of that strategy.
Yeah.
He sees Bitcoin as, you know, as I was saying before we started, he has a saying that I really like, you cannot stop wind with your fingers. So this is happening. The new generations are using it. There's no, you know, we should embrace it. We should understand it. We should support it. So, and in our view, that's great. That's already great in itself that he understands that. I don't think he's fully orange-pilled. No time for that as well. But he understands that Madeira needs to be in the forefront of this adoption. And so he appreciates the effort and he supports us, which is great.
Which is great. And if we know that Bitcoin is a grassroots movement and more people in Madeira will learn about it through Free Madeira and through the conference and through the willingness of the government, then, you know, more people will use it, adopt it, and then it will become a reality more and more. So,
and that's
so
the
I
goal.
Think that's
one
a perfect
by one.
Path to take. Exactly. That's the path. It will be, I think it will be the path in most countries because most countries are not going to go the El Salvador way.
Absolutely.
Right? Most, I don't know of many politicians that will be embracing a new currency as a legal tender that is out of their control. It's a very unique case in El Salvador.
And it's actually part of the ethos, right? I don't even... Yeah. Although I love what Bukele is doing, right? He led by example. He was very brave in doing it.
Yeah.
But in the end, we are, as a libertarian myself, and admirer of the free markets that are more efficient than a lot of the socialism that we see around us nowadays, I believe that the best money should win on a free market. So let the market decide. Let's not impose from the top down. Okay.
Yeah, same. Robert Bridlove was telling me the same thing when I had a chat with him. He said, you know, I'm definitely all for countries adopting Bitcoin, but I'm not in favor of legal tenders in the concept of it because we shouldn't be coercing people to use a certain currency, just like we don't want to coerce anything else on them.
Yeah.
You know, we
in
want to
way,
give them the freedom to choose.
In a way, you can even say, you can even argue that it wasn't good in a way because it's part of the central decision and enforcing that we are fighting.
Yes.
Although the decision was in our favor and we like it, it's not like the ethos is not good. That it's not the way to do it.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. So yeah, let the best currency win, right?
Yes,
Let the best money win. Okay, so... Okay, we talked a bit about Free Madeira. Let's talk about CBDC, the central bank digital currencies. We know that the European Central Bank is preparing to roll out CBDC in Europe. Christine Lagarde, the head of the ECB, is coming out every few weeks and updating us on their progress, which is going very well, obviously, according to their plans. And they're getting more and more advanced with it. Lately, I've seen a white paper from the German government about the technical requirements, product requirements of CBDC. They're in real advanced stages of, I think they all have the systems in place already. They're just waiting for the right excuse to launch them. They may create this excuse. This excuse may be created naturally and organically, who knows, but it's happening, that's for sure. And in a place where we have Bitcoin already adopted by some of the population, some of the public, do you think that the introduction of CBDCs is going to be a competition for them? Do you think they're going to get it, like in a place like Madeira, where there is already some awareness for Bitcoin or for different money? Do you think they're going to understand the difference between CBDC or the digital euro that's coming up and Bitcoin? That's from the public point of view, and from the government point of view, do you think your president is then going to reject Bitcoin when that happens?
I don't have answers for you, straight answers for you. It's really hard. You know, honestly, I haven't been following actually those developments of the CBDCs. Of course, we know about it. You know, I think I know more about that from the memes on Twitter than anything else. I'm not, you know, I think they'll do what they'll do, right? I'm very much of the positive mind that Bitcoiners have. I'm building my own reality. And I am, you know, of course, we are biased in our perspective. I believe I'm doing good, and the community here believes it's doing good for those around us that still don't get it. That's mm-hmm. one of our goals, right? And we are building it. And we think that, you know, one by one, the most people that we can bring in and protect in a way from those things that will happen, the better. You know, as far as, you know, let's make it real. You know, let's be real. The president here has limited powers on that. You know, he's under the main Portuguese government, and especially under the EU and the bureaucrats of Brussels.
Yeah.
So if they really want to enforce something all over Europe, they will. If the president is going to reject Bitcoin, well, if it does happen, that I don't know, let him do it.
Yeah.
People are not going to stop using it because of that. That's one of the things they don't really understand. That's one of the big problems with all enforcing of this new technology, that they don't really understand that they cannot stop it.
Exactly.
They can slow it down, I guess, with a lot of, you know, of course, you know, let's go hardcore.
Yeah.
Restrictions. And enforcing and fines and...
Yeah, mandates, you know, restrictions, whatever.
But in the end, I can still use, in a way that they don't really understand it, on a peer-to-peer basis with everyone I want around me and around the world. So it's just... Again, the president, you cannot stop wind with your hands, and they are trying with one finger, like it doesn't make any sense.
Love it.
And there are some things that you can just, you know, laugh honestly and, you know, and move on and yeah. keep building, because it'll be what it'll be. We'll be here to do our own thing. And of course, we don't want to do anything illegal. We are a public entity, and now I'm talking about Frimadar, of course. So we will have to comply with the business rules and whatever, but that doesn't mean we are not an education agency in the end. They're not gonna put us in jail for educating people, right? So do what they do. I'm gonna be a bit hardcore. I really don't care.
Good.
We're doing our own thing.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. Once people get Bitcoin, you know, it's coming. There is nothing we can do to stop it. And we can just work on preparing ourselves best as possible by moving to other systems, building our own systems. Yep. You know, we don't need to fight so hard.
We can go even... I know your audience is not the most hardcore understanding the technicalities.
Some
of
them aren't, right? Yes.
But we can go even like if you want to go really hardcore, Bitcoin is just information. How are they going to stop information? It doesn't make any sense at all. I can bring Bitcoin in my head wherever I go. And as Knut puts it, we are our own Bitcoin, which is really, really interesting and mind-blowing for those who don't understand. But it's true. And I can keep Bitcoin in me because it's just information. I can access my Bitcoin with just information.
True.
That's truly unstoppable. And they don't understand the technology. And honestly, I think the legislators, and even I'm putting away that they're doing this by malice, just by ignorance.
Yes. Yes.
They don't understand it. Maybe one day. You know, it's a long-term thing. It's not going to happen from one day to the other.
Yep. And people should start learning about it if they aren't. But after listening to my podcast for so many episodes, I'm sure they are already looking into Bitcoin. It's not possible that they aren't. My last two episodes, by the way, were with Max and Stacey, and before that with Robert Bridlove. So, you know, hard. If you continue listening, it means, you know.
Much better speakers than I am.
And, shut up. Shut up. Okay, let's talk about the conference, about Bitcoin Atlantis. So you said more than 180 maybe speakers, 5,000 people are going to come, right?
Well, we don't know if we're going to get to 5,000. That was a big aim, but we're going to have thousands for sure.
A few thousand, amazing, you know. It's amazing. It's a very big conference, and it's kind of a weekly festival starting March 1st to March 3rd, but the days before and after, with a lot of satellite events, basically running the whole week. And the conference,
so many good things.
The conference itself is 3 days, right?
And yes.
And by the way, if you want to still get a ticket, you can on the website, and you can use my 10% discount code, EFRAT. I checked, it's working. You can go to the website and buy a ticket. And
don't trust, verify.
No, I mean, but you can meet me if you want to come, but you can also meet amazing freedom lovers and Bitcoiners there. The people are just amazing. So what was the first inspiration for the conference, Andre?
Well, it actually starts as everything in my life. It just has just to do with this crazy idea that then evolved into this monster. we have a great advisory board.
It's a pattern with you that small things start and then become monsters?
Well, it's a pattern with me to just evolve my ideas quickly and grandiosely, as my wife would. It's crazy, evolves.
I love it.
But we have an amazing advisory board at Primadera. People like Jeff Booth and Samson Mao and Gigi and Max Hillebrand, you name it. So many. Knut, Daniel, Greg Foss, Larry Leopard, Troy Cross, many people helping us and advising us. It's great. And at one point, we started the Primadera project. And at one point, we were having a weekly meeting, and I dropped the idea of doing a conference here. But in my head, it would be something really small. I was just hoping to get the advisory board over to continue with the conversations with government, you know, public entities, private stakeholders, the energy company, you know, keep the movement. But then, because of that advisory board, some big names started confirming. And at one point, you know, I'm not the kind of guy to do something lighter. So if we, you know, I just, my God, now we have Jack Dorsey and Michael Saylor confirmed. This is a great opportunity. So let's go big. Let's do it properly. So that's when I decided, okay, let's go all in. Let's do this. Let's try to make the best conference that we can. And it all started, you know, like a snowball growing. And now we have this amazing week with, I would say, even more than 200 speakers, because you have to include the workshop guys and everything that's happening. And yeah, we got it on a stadium. It's an amazing. Look,
it's a I think soccer you're stadium. Gonna, what is you're it? Sports find stadium? Oh my God! Look at that.
You're gonna find. You're gonna find this in the website.
I'm gonna start getting stomach aches for, you know, I'm speaking there. Oh fuck!
We have a main stage in the pitch facing the seatings of the stadium, and then everything happens around on a big ring outside the stadium.
Wow.
We have an open source stage. We have a book corner with a stage of its own, you know, author talks, book signings, art gallery curated by Fractal Encrypt, full of great things. He's going to show up his latest sculpture here. Wow. We have an exhibition hall that inside the exhibition hall, there are three different rooms. One of them is managed by my first Bitcoin, Looking Glass, and Amity Age, with a full schedule of workshops, learning classes, everything. There's one room managed by BTC Sessions,
yep,
full of workshops as well. Fedi is doing some workshops as well. We're going to have the Fedi Federation set up for every attendee. We have an Ellen Bits, Maker Bits room as well for more hackerspace kind of thing, managed by Ben Ark. We're going to have the Seed Signer, Seed Hammer guys with us as well. I mentioned the Kids Block. We're going to have the Gaming Lounge, the Atlantic Bazaar, the Food Court with great food as well. And foods and drinks and, you know, Madeira wine and white wine from Madeira and, you know, great things. We're going to have the Wolf Lounge for the VIPs with a bar of its own as well, and the Pleb Lounge and the commentary booth and the lightning and the photo booth. And there's so many things happening on the venue.
Music?
Music, especially on the satellite events. So we created a lot of satellite events. It all starts with on Wednesday, the 27th, with a golf tournament in Santa Serra Golf Course, which is amazing above the clouds with great views.
Wow.
And then there's a lot of events also by different partners, like My First Bitcoin is doing a whole day of an conference. That's on the 29th. We have Bitbox doing stuff. We have Trezor doing stuff. This is different, you know, different stuff happening all around. But the more related,
women's network as well. I'm going
the
there.
The women's branch.
Yes.
Will happen on the 29th as well in the morning.
Yes.
We have the Welcome to Bitcoin. That's a full day, 100% in Portuguese, on a different venue for those who are starting.
Okay.
It's being managed by the community, the Aceta Bitcoin and 21 Portuguese community. And it's a full day of schedule and workshops on the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
We have on the 29th as well, the Rise of Atlantis, which is a VC pitch for startups with a big set of judges. It's great. Being managed by Martel Fox from Layer for Talent. We have parties, a lot of parties going on. So on the 29th, there will already be the first party with Valerie Love and DJ Rotzol on Bitcoin Bar Cafe, as we were calling it. We have the speakers reception as well on the 29th. And then the big event starts on the 1st, of course. So a full day of programming on all the stages. And at night, we have the special meetup in Nini Design Center, which is going to be amazing as well. A very cool location and a big party. We'll have Roger 9000 and Satoshi Nakamoto, where a few Bitcoiners will rock some tunes there. It's going to be great as well. And then on the 2nd, at night, we have the big thing for us. At least I think it's the best satellite event we have, which is the music festival, the Hatless Music Festival. On Quinta Magnolia, which is a beautiful park by the main venue. And it's just basically a cool, very cool place to be, where there's going to be food and drinks as well. And an amazing headline by Theo Katzman, this amazing artist from the States that is part of Wolfpack. And it's going to be a great time.
Any favorite sessions that you have?
Favorite
sessions? I mean, a panel or a talk or a...
We're going to publish the agenda this weekend, Monday at the most. It was very hard to fit everything. So apologizes that we're putting it last minute, 15 days to go, but it is what it is, you know. And you're going to see, it's really hard to pick one because there are so many talks in 3 days in three different stages. It's crazy. I think the worst thing is people won't be able to see everything at the same time.
For sure.
But let me, you know, it doesn't stop there. On Sunday, we have the Mega Pleb Dinner.
Yes.
Also to close it up. Then we're going to have the famous Espetada, the meat on skewer. It's going to be great as well. And it doesn't stop. Monday, we still have the Atlantic Football Cup. by Coach Carbon. It's more for families and kids. It's going to be really cool. And it starts with a lot. Oh, on the mornings of the event, there's also the Alfini Seaside Run every morning. And on the 4th, we have the Pleb Walk and the Alfini Mountain Run as well. There's a, and the boat trip. And the and the film festival. We have a film festival on Monday. I don't think people will have to come prepared and energized to be everywhere at the same time.
Wow. Wow. We need to work on quantum physics techniques in order to multiply to different places at the same time.
Maybe Jeff Booth can help there.
I'm going to interview him. I'll ask him that.
On the last block, which on the main stage, we divided the programming in different blocks. Great people helping us. It starts with the Press and Pitch block, Intro to Bitcoin. That's on the website already. Go there and check it out. And then Daniel Priest is managing one of the blocks as well. We have Alex Gladstein managing another block. Troy Cross with the Energy block. Myself with Madeira block, and Jeff Booth to finalize with the hyper-Bitcoinization block, or how the world could look on the other side.
Yeah.
And they will have amazing conversations there.
I'm sure.
I think they'll maybe talk about quantum there.
Yes, I won't be surprised.
Probably.
Yes, probably. Okay, amazing. Can people use their Bitcoin in the conference?
Absolutely. So.
Lightning?
Yes, of course. Every attendee will have a Bolt card on the goodie bag at the entrance.
Yes.
And they can use the Bolt card basically as a cashless system for payments inside the venue. All the vendors will accept Lightning payments, all of them. We have our own Bitcoinized POS machines. Actually, I can show you.
So show it off. Amazing. Yes, I love it. So it's like a chargeable card.
Yes.
I charge it through my wallet.
Through your wallet, or we're gonna have a place inside the venue where you can go and top it up.
Mm-hmm.
But you can use fiat as well if you want to, but we prefer this. Yeah.
Yeah, we like this.
Much better.
Yeah.
And we're going to have an ATM machine as well with Lightning. So you can charge, withdraw, just play around with it. And on the Atlas Music Festival also, on the satellite events, also you can pay with Lightning. So everywhere.
Amazing. Buy food, drinks. Love it.
I think people will complain that we're ruining their SAT stack during this week.
But, for sure.
Spend and replace, guys.
But
spend
and replace. Those are the things that I'm willing to use my SATs on.
Yeah.
If I'm going to a conference and, I'm helping all the different vendors to make a living and with those Bitcoins, for sure. Bring it on. Okay, so last question. Since I joined the Bitcoin community, I find on the most part that people are very friendly, very welcoming, very helpful, which is not very common in every community that I've been a part of. And I've been in tech for 20 years like you. I was an entrepreneur, but I was a marketeer and a chief marketing officer. So I've worked with many entrepreneurs and startups and a lot of people in different communities, but this community feels different to me. And I'm interested to hear from you, your view about the Bitcoin community. What do you think is different from other communities around the world, and why is it so?
That's a good question. And actually, all of this happened in my life because of that, exactly.
Because of the community.
Yeah, because people were so friendly and helpful. You mentioned in the beginning that I started with publishing.
Yes.
And those little steps that, I started in publishing because I wanted to translate the best Bitcoin books to Portuguese. And this all started because I sent a Twitter message, this guy from nowhere, from an island in the middle of the Atlantic that knew nobody, sent a message to Jeff Booth asking if I could translate his book to Portuguese because his book is amazing, as we all know. And he said yes. Of course, why not? And that was the beginning, the little step that grew into this, a lot of steps because there started the relationship. I started meeting Jeff, Daniel, Samson, other people around the community. And then when the president came, we already knew them. And it was a series of steps and chain events that led to this. But at every point in time, from the biggest, most deep influencer of all to the smallest pleb somewhere, they were all, sorry for cursing, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
We'll help. We'll do it. We'll do it. So, and that was amazing. And when the community sees that you're doing something good, they come out and help you, asking nothing in return. It's amazing to see. It's nothing I ever saw or experienced before, honestly.
And I experienced the same thing. Everyone's speaking to me at the eye level. They don't know me. I approach them. They're like, sure, bring it on. And let's do stuff together. And I'm so surprised, which is really amazing because it's taking me all over the world before I know it. Like this whole year, 2024, I'm going to be in so many different places around the world because of great people. Like, for
I guess
example,
you didn't imagine you were going to Madeira 1 year ago.
No. And Alex Svetsky was like, you got to come to Madeira. And he made the connection between us. And then Mark Moss with El Salvador and Max and Stacy. And like everyone is... It's all happening and it's just unreal. I'm seriously shocked about how friendly people are.
You
it's
can imagine now.
Why do you think that is? Because of the adoption of Bitcoin, everyone wants this to succeed.
Yeah, I think so. It's a simple thing. As soon as you understand it, when there's that really big light bulb moment in your head.
Yes.
And it's not about the money and not about making money anymore, and it's all about making a better world, because it seems not niche or naive to say it, but it truly, you then suddenly, your mindset changes a lot and you just want to contribute the most as you can. And when you see other people around you with the same mindset, let's go, let's do this. Let's, you know, we're all working to make the same reality happen faster, I guess.
Yes.
Although it's a long process still. But, you know, we're all working with a low time frame to make it happen and a reality. So.
I love it. Thank you.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's so heartwarming. I'm just always so grateful for meeting all these people and being around such incredible visionaries. Like everyone has the same vision and it's not a tomorrow morning thing, it's a long-term thing.
Yes,
and it can
absolutely
really change things in the world, and we know how fucked up our world is, so
I'm getting crazier by the day.
Yeah, you know where I come from, it's you can feel the shit show every day, all day.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
I'm not gonna put up to your standard because we know our things are there, but even around us, even around me, and people, you know, in Europe, people are in Europe and in the United States, on the Western world, right? People are a bit spoiled and privileged because they think they are, you know, separated from all that mess.
Yes.
But even around me, I'm not an old guy. I'm 43 years old, but I'm old enough to see a true degradation, how shall I put it? Principles. Of
morals.
Yeah. Everything's collapsing.
Yes.
Everything's a mess. People are disturbed. People are not mentally sane for the most part. And I don't think people realize that. People are living in the moment and watching the news and reacting.
Yes.
But not thinking in a low time frame about the future, about their kids, about how they want society to be.
Yeah.
Democracy is going really bad. Or sane reality, back to first principles, back to family life, back. I don't want to sound too right wing or conservatory or whatever you call it in English. I don't know.
We don't care about labels so much.
Yeah, we don't. I'm just worried about my family. Let's take it back to reality.
Yeah.
Less TikTok, more family life. Bring it down. I take all that noise out of people's brains.
Yeah.
And let's try and communicate better. And what better tool to communicate than an information technology like Bitcoin? That's all. That's the only thing we need. A fair equalizer for the world that doesn't extract value from people's lives and let them, you know, let them lead their families and community lives, you know, in a more proper way?
1000% right. Everything you said is spot on. And people here and in many other war-ridden places around the world are suffering from economics and the financial situation without having any clue how to beat it. They don't know what to do to make their lives better. And they're receiving every day more news and more news about how more expensive stuff is becoming and about how more taxes they need to pay now to fund the wars and everything that's happening. It's happening here. It's happening, you know, right next to me with my neighbors in Gaza, and finishing their lives sometimes because of the consequences of the financial situation, but sometimes directly because of the wars and what they are bringing about. And since I came into Bitcoin a couple of years ago and started learning how you can really create your reality and a different alternative reality with a different type of money that will not force you to be violent or to take stuff off of people and to actively contribute to the growth of this movement, you are becoming a better person, and you are discovering that your money is not in anyone else's hands, but in your hands. And it's such an amazing power. And once people get that, they become so much more relaxed, and they drop,
absolutely,
but they drop the levels of violence very, very quickly. Right.
Yes, and I believe that the problem is there's a big, big gap on understanding the true originator factor of all those layers of stupid nonsense that happened above it.
Yes.
And create this all real factors. Problem. They find a lot of excuses, a lot of other stuff that is not real.
Correct.
Or it is real because of this manipulation of the base money or this technology, which is the most important technology for human flourishing, which is money.
Yes.
And the exchange of value between people. Yes. And they don't understand that all the other consequences happen because of this. It's a major, major gap in understanding. That's what we're here for. And in the end, that's what Free Madari exists and why all the other communities around the world exist. And we're just part of that big growing flower bouquet around the world that is embracing more and more people every day.
Yeah, and you know, I thank you for doing what you're doing, and this is why I've dedicated my life now to doing that, to educate people about the problems of the world, but then the solutions that there are out there. And speaking like with people like you and others can help me to educate them and try and overcome this gap so that they understand the root cause, as you said, is oftentimes the money and the system and the way it's designed. And once you learn it and understand it, you can take action. So, you know, this is why we're doing what we're doing. I'm going to be on a panel called Talking Heads with other people that are, you know, reporters or podcasters, that's what they're doing. Essentially, they're teaching people how to go into this new world and why it's important to do it. There are going to be some amazing people with me on the panel. John Vallis, Nico Moran, Natalie Brunel, and myself. And I'm so privileged to be on that panel. So, you know, if we can talk about how we can make a difference, not just in the sick media world today, but also in the education of people and what it's going to bring about, that's going to be a fantastic conversation for me to be part of. So
it will, and thank you for coming.
Yeah, my pleasure. And Andre, thank you so much for setting this up, for setting Free Madeira, for, you know, letting your plans start small and grow big, because then things like that happen. So thanks for doing
that. That's how it happens in nature, right? It all starts with a little seed. So
if it's got the right true spark, then it grows.
Yes.
It survives. And thank you so much for having that spark. Do you want to add anything? Normally I finish with like a message of hope or anything else you want to add.
Well, I think this was a message of hope. This last.
Yes, correct.
You know, just an invite. Come to Madara, you know, enjoy the week. Even if it's not for the conference, you know, visit anyway on another date. But that is a great place to have some vacations at least. But if you can come at the conference time, it's going to be a great week. Great conversations on the venue. I'm so excited to this. Oh.
Me too.
Go to bitcoinatlantis.com. There's going to be more and more information there. We're going to publish the full schedule really soon.
Yep.
And yeah, come and visit.
Where We'd can people you. Find you, Andre, and follow you?
Well, I just use Twitter. You can find me at my name. I'm not very psyop oriented. That's a sheep long gone. It's just my name, Andre Loge, at Andre Loge. And you can follow both projects at Bitcoin Atlantis and at freemadera.org. Mm-hmm. And we have the website and the newsletter and everything else. So it's really easy to reach out if you want to.
Super cool. Thank you so much for your time, Andre. It was such a lovely conversation to have.
Thank you, Efrat, and see you soon.
See you soon, dear.
In the year 2024, the sunken city of Atlantis will return. The first Bitcoin conference on the Atlantic Ocean. From March 1st to the 3rd, we are going to transform the stadium to a Bitcoin stadium. Jack Dorsey, Michael Saylor, Jack Mallers, and many, many more Bitcoiners are joining Bitcoin Atlantis.